Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're taking communion over the whole family. In Acts, it tells us that if you believe, you and your whole household will be saved. So we're going to be taking communion today. If you've got people you've been praying for in your family, maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a kid, maybe it's an aunt or an uncle or a cousin, mom and dad, you got anybody in your household, anybody in your family you've been praying and believing for that they would be connected to God, that they would get to know him, they would start walking with him in their life, that they would be born again, they would be born above, born by the Spirit. If you've been praying and believing for anybody in your family, we're going to be believed today. We're going to be taking communion over this today. Today's going to be a marker in time. We're going to activate this. We're going to receive this promise from God that you and your whole household will be saved. And today is going to be a marker in time where today is the day we believe and receive. We're going to give it to him. We're just going to trust that he's got it from this point on. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I had pretty much no spiritual life whatsoever. I was just doing life on my own without God. I needed to be born again, to be born from above, to be born by the Spirit, to be walking with God in my life. But I didn't even know it. I was walking in darkness. Just doing life on my own, but I was constantly stressed, just had the weight and pressure of life on me. I was running my personal training gym business at the time, and life was just not going the way that I wanted to go. My business was very up and down. I was losing thousands of dollars some months. I can remember going for a walk with my wife around the neighborhood one night and just telling her over and over, there's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be a better way to live. And the truth is, I was seeking after truth. I've been traveling all over the country, studying with some of the best health and fitness experts in the world because I was searching for ways to improve my business, the way our bodies function, get our clients better results, but I wasn't finding what I was looking for. And then one day I came across this challenge to start reading one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. It says, if you read one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day, it will change your life. Proverbs has 31 chapters. On day one of the month, you read Proverbs chapter one. Day two of the month, you read Proverbs chapter two, and you keep going like that to the end of the month. And then you start back over again. And so I got started on this, and very quickly, I began to see that my way of thinking and God's way of thinking were definitely not in alignment together. And God began to work on me, began to renew my mind about some things. I began to start to grow just a little bit of a relationship with him. And then one day I came across this verse in Proverbs 13:22. Just seemed to jump off the page of me. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we could pass on to future generations? After some time of thinking about it and meditating on it, I came to the conclusion that the most valuable thing we could pass on would be wisdom or teaching or training for how to truly live. So I made a commitment that day. I'm going to create lessons and manuals and systems and teaching and training for all the different areas of life. Areas like purpose and health and family and finances, order, time, and community. But really, when I got started, I had no clue where to start. So I began to seek God. I began to press into him. And he began to supply. He began to show up. He began to teach me, began to train me. My relationship with him just began to grow exponentially. And as he began to teach me and train me, it wasn't always easy all the time. I went through a lot of struggle. I had to unlearn a lot of my old patterns. Went through some times, just impossible looking situations where just God began to show up and come through over and over again. And over the course of about 10 years, it's turned into this whole program we have called the Abundant Life Blueprint. With books and courses and partners. But out of everything we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, the most important thing we do is daily communion. Daily communion is what I call the number one table turner for all of life. It has the ability to turn things around and change the trajectory of our lives going forward. And I think today, this is a big one today, actually. We've done a lot of daily communions. We just finished. We've just done a whole year of them. But I think this is a big one today. Because if you're praying and believing for family members, that can be a stressful, frustrating, aggravating thing to watch them walking in darkness. And to be praying and believing for them, we're going to turn that over to God today. We're going to be believing. We're going to start seeing some amazing results and fruit from this starting today. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to stir his sacrifice into our mind and remembrance. Helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these promises that are found in the new covenant. And I found personally that we can take these promises that God has made, and we can take communion over them as a way to activate them. It serves as a marker in time to say, you know what, that was the day I believed, I received that promise, and I'm experiencing God's help walking in it from that point on. And we're doing that today for the family. It allows us to combine the spiritual principles of the sacrifice of Jesus, to pull that into our mind and remembrance, in our soul, and combine it with something practical and physical that helps us to remember. Think of it like a trigger that helps us to remember. You probably have things in your house, pictures you could look at, things you could touch, certain smells or different sensory things that trigger memories. Communion is meant to trigger the memory of all that Jesus did for us and what that means for us today. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord, with deep awe and honor and reverence and appreciation for the sacrifice of Jesus. And I think it's important we remember both sides of the cross. On one side, we remember the lead up to the cross. God didn't have to send Jesus. He could have left us on our own, separated from him for eternity, walking in darkness all of our lives. But he chose the way of love. He chose to send his one and only Son. Jesus was willing to come. Think about who he was. He was willing to humble himself, even unto death on a cross for us. He's rejected by his own people. He's betrayed by his own disciple. He's spit on and mocked and ridiculed and hit and whipped. He's nailed to the cross. Worst of all, I believe he's separated from God. He felt what it was like to have God against him. The cup of God's wrath was poured onto his body. He was destroyed by God. In Isaiah, it says it pleased God to crush him. But on the other side, he's raised back to life. He's victorious over death. And now that same victorious power now lives on the inside of us. He connects us back to God, makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight. We become his children all through his one sacrifice. And I think it's important we remember both sides of the cross. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves, because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And if communion has the power to do that in the negative, I believe it has the power to do the opposite of that in the positive, if we'll take it the right way, to make us healthy and strong and give us long life. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout tips and advice, because I truly believe the principles of physical exercise are meant to teach us how to exercise our faith, to receive this grace by faith and to experience God doing the work through us. And then once we know how to do that, we're going to take those same principles and apply them into the other areas of our life. So let's get started with our prayer, and then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, especially we're talking about families today, Lord, all those connected to them and all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. I thank you that Jesus was smitten for us so that you could fight for us. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today, and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, so we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is our time to examine ourselves. Are we making today a masterpiece? And how are we going to do that? We're going to get connected to the master. We have to have this eternal perspective with God, but our relationship with him, it's got to be brought down into today. The things that we do, the things that we speak, the decisions that we make. And remember, masters of anything are just masters of the fundamentals. That's where we talk about executing these four fundamentals and bringing some presence and some energy and some fun into these fundamentals today. So our first fundamental, let's get positioned in the light today. This is like the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. There's no in-between. And every day, we got to keep repositioning ourselves back into the light. It's got to happen every day. We're going to start with humility. Jesus says, you want to become great in the kingdom of heaven? You got to humble yourself like this little child. Just simple, childlike, humble faith that just simply believes God. We're going to humble ourselves in relationship to God, humble ourselves in relationship to other people. Because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble who are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to let it flow through us. We're going to forgive ourselves. We often forget to forgive ourselves. And we're going to walk in grace and forgiveness with other people, giving them the same grace and forgiveness God has given us. We're going to take our position in love today. Kind and patient and gentle, always assuming the best, keeping no record of wrongs, delighting in the truth, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering, because love never fails. And we're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today, one of the greatest expressions of faith, and it's one of the easiest ways to just maintain our position all day long. And being in position is a big deal. Because when we're in position, it puts us in position to receive all that God has for us. Think about a quarterback and a receiver. The quarterback's throwing a pass and the receiver runs the wrong way. He's out of position to receive. When we step into the light, we're stepping into Christ. And God has taken everything that he has and he gave it all to Jesus. And we get this amazing opportunity that we get to be in him today. And it's learning how to receive all that he put in Christ and to get it flowing through us where we see the fruit of it and the result of it. But what did he put in there? His spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom. He's got health and energy. He's got more than enough health and energy for you today. He's got more than enough time. He's got the finances you need. He's got purpose and grace given to you in Christ Jesus before time ever began. It's all in there waiting to be received. It's stored up in heaven for you, the storehouse of his bounty. All these good and perfect gifts come from above. We got to be received and we got to get them flowing through us in our life. Our first step is to get in position. Our second step is to magnify the light. To magnify is to make bigger or brighter. We're going to turn up the brightness of this. It's going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. It's also going to get this new covenant rooted and established in our heart, where we have hearts that understand God's grace to make us more fixed and consistent and immovable, when the issues and pressures of life come our way. And to magnify the light, it's all about what we focus on. Where's our focus and attention throughout the day? I think of it as meditation. And when I think of meditation, I think of constant repetition. What are those things that we're just rolling over and over and over on the inside? You can either be rolling over all those problems, just toiling away in our mind, rolling over all the ways people have wronged us, or we can magnify the light by magnifying God's word, his unfailing love and faithfulness, his mighty works that nothing's impossible with him. We can magnify our right standing in Christ. We've got peace with God. We've got his blessing and favor on our lives. We can magnify every good thing that he put within us. We've got this treasure in jars of clay. And just stay focused on all the things that are going well. Looking back at all that God has already done in our lives. Because what he started, he's going to finish. He's going to see it through to completion. He's going to sustain it by the power of his word. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's simply choosing not to magnify them, to stop rolling those problems over and over in our mind, toiling away in our mind, trying to figure it all out. And we're going to let them go. We're going to give them to God. We're going to magnify him as bigger than those issues and problems. But he does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, insisting on our own way, bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, venting and complaining and pouting and just toiling away in our mind, magnifying the issues and the ways we've been wronged, rather than resting and trusting in God. And wherever we're positioned, whatever we're magnifying is going to produce some symptoms and side effects in our life. When we're out of position, when we're magnifying the wrong things, you might have the tendency to retaliate at people. You might snap at people. You might withhold good things that you know to do because someone did something to you that you didn't like. We might avoid people or give them the silent treatment. On the inside, you feel this heaviness and weight and pressure like it's all sitting on you. Might have feelings of hopelessness or helplessness or powerlessness, like you're trapped or you're stuck and it seems like there's no way out. You might say things like, this is always going to be the way it is. It's never going to get any better. No hope for the situation. Low energy is another big symptom of this. I think of it as like a black hole, just sucks the energy right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the stress and the fear and the worry, the toiling and torment in our mind. There's confusion about which steps to take or which direction to go. And you get stuck in these vicious cycles that just seem to keep repeating over and over again. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. There's this fullness and completeness in him. And when we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless and energizing because his spirit and power and peace and joy and love, his mind and wisdom, his time and health and energy, it all just begins to flow through us. And now all of a sudden we've got hope in any and every situation because we've got God with us. He begins to bring these beautiful solutions into our life. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, not by us working and toiling away and figuring it out, but as a gift of his grace. These good and perfect gifts that he brings into our life. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. If you ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it right back around again, to get right back into the light again. Because every day, life's throwing stuff at us to try to knock us out of position, to try to get us to magnify the wrong things. And sometimes we miss it. If we ever miss it, it's learning to recognize those symptoms and turn it back around quickly. How do we do it? I think we start with humility. Father, forgive me. I've missed it. We forgive ourselves. We stop beating ourselves up over it. We say we're sorry to other people or reconcile with other people if we need to. And then we just start praising and thanking him for his grace and his goodness and his love. And I like to pray this very simple prayer. Father, thank you that what you put within me is more than enough to handle whatever's coming my way today in a beautiful, graceful way. Help me tap into it and cultivate it and see it flowing in my life at a greater level. You pray that simple prayer, you'll feel that weight lift off you on the inside. You feel the peace and the joy and the love and the energy just begin to wash over you again. And then our third fundamental, we got to stay tuned in today. Every day, God's trying to teach us and train us and navigate us throughout the day, but we've got to stay tuned into Him. My favorite way to do this is with a journal before bed. And lately, we've talked about installing what we call some filters at the top of the journal. These filters are just short phrases, maybe a sentence that you keep rewriting every night to just reinforce God's standards for our life. It's making a commitment to His way of doing things, to walking in His standards for our life. So you might write something that looks like this: God is working continually for my good, and I'm going to do continually good for others. Then when something comes up during the day and you're tempted to stress, you're tempted to worry, you're tempted to toil away in your mind, you've got this reminder: wait a minute, God's working for my good. He's got this. We can give it to Him and trust that He's going to bring this beautiful solution into our life. And then when someone wrongs you throughout the day, gets under your skin, annoys you in some way, rather than snapping at them or retaliating at them, giving them the silent treatment, you've got this reminder: wait a minute, God gives me grace. I'm going to give this person the same grace God has given me. And then I like to start my journal with gratitude and praise to get in position. And then to magnify what went well today. What are all the ways I saw God showing up today? Because the more we look for them, the more of them we're going to see. And then I like to ask this question: God, what were you trying to show me today? And just get still and listen and reflect back over the day. And whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write those things down. It's important to get out of our heads and onto the paper because it helps us to remember and not forget. And there's many times when I'm journaling, when I know God's given me a nudge in a certain direction, but I don't quite understand what He's trying to show me. And I'll ask this question so many times, almost every night, it seems like I'm asking this question: God, what are you trying to show me about this, or whatever the thing was that He's trying to show me about? What are you trying to show me about this? Help me understand. It's amazing how you just keep asking those questions. It just begins to unfold over time. And then we've got to stay tuned in throughout the day. Every day, God's trying to navigate us throughout the day, but we've got to stay tuned into Him. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection with Him, just take 1 to 2 minutes. Just slow down. Take a couple deep breaths. Get aware of His presence with you. Think of it like plugging in a phone. You're going to get charged up or powered up in Him. And then our fourth fundamental: we're going to do what we know to do today. The final thing I like to do in my journal before bed is to plan out the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Because sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I'm toiling away in my mind, trying to figure things out, trying to force things to happen ahead of schedule. And I'm getting out ahead of Him. And there's no grace there. On the other side, I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do sometimes. And I was getting behind God. And so I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? That becomes the plan for the day. And then we wake up excited for the day like a kid on Christmas morning, and we remember this very important principle: that the first thing out of our mouth every morning sets the tone for the whole day. And as I began to learn this, I began to seek God. What's the best thing for us to say first thing in the morning? And I feel like He was taking me back to the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. What's the first thing we see God speak in the whole Bible? Which is, let there be light. And so I've starting my days this way. Very first thing in the morning, right when I wake up, the first words out of my mouth: let there be light. And then I like to add, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And it's amazing how just that simple little thing just brings a different energy into the day, sets the tone for the whole day. We're going to get connected with Him. We're going to start walking out that plan together with Him today. With a willing heart and a good attitude, just that simple childlike faith that just simply believes, that confident faith with all the doubt and unbelief removed. And when we get to that place of confident faith, God begins to go to work. His grace begins to surge through us. He begins to bring these beautiful solutions into our life, these good and perfect gifts from above that He's got stored up waiting for us in our life. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. So today we are taking communion over families. So I got a couple scriptures coming from the book of Acts today, just to get our faith stirred up for this a little bit more. Acts 2:39 says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Acts 11:14, the angels are appearing, I believe, to Cornelius, and they tell him, Peter's going to come. He's going to convey to you a message by which you and your whole household will be saved. Then when Peter comes, they replied, what do we do now? And he said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your whole household. So we're going to take communion over this today. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for these amazing promises. And that you're not only interested in us, you're interested in our whole household. You're interested in families. Families are the building blocks of communities. To have healthy communities, we've got to have healthy families. Father, we're asking for your help today. That anyone in our families, spouses, children, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents, whoever it is, that anybody in our family that doesn't know you, that hasn't been born again, hasn't been born above by your Spirit, it's not walking with you in their life. We're asking for that to happen. That you would come into their hearts and just change their hearts, releasing them from darkness, transfer them into the light, that they would just get to know you. They would just walk out their life, the rest of their life with you together in partnership with you. We're just so thankful that you are so faithful to do this. And this is not something that we can figure out how to do on our own. I know a lot of us have probably tried. It's just a frustrating experience to try to make it happen on our own. We're just asking for your help because we know that nothing's impossible with you. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's just take a moment to remember. The lead up to the cross, God sent his one and only son for us. Jesus is willing to humble himself even unto death on a cross for us. So that we and our whole household can be saved. Spit on and hit and whipped, nailed to a cross, separated from God so that we could be connected back to him. The cup of God's wrath is poured onto his body. He was destroyed. But then he's victorious over death, and that same victorious power now lives on the inside of us. He makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight through his one sacrifice. Makes us his children, allows us and our whole household, all of our family, to be saved. So, Father, we just thank you for this bread and what you're doing in our families, Lord. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So something I've found, I've learned to pray as well when it comes to families. I can't remember where I learned it. I learned it from somebody a while back, which is asking God to send laborers across their path, our family's path. Father, we're asking you for you to send the right people across their path to help make this happen. Whether that's us or somebody else. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. He's released us from darkness. He's transferred us into the light. We can have this personal relationship with him. And I believe as you experience him, going to work in your family, just going to help him to help you, help us to know him that much more. So, Father, we thank you for this cup and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right. So, we believed we received right now. Now we got to stop worrying about it. You've been toiling away, trying to figure out how to make it happen, trying to force it to happen. Just rest and trust. He's got it. Now, workout stuff. Just a reminder today. We talk about in our daily communion workouts. If you don't have the workouts, you can go to our website, theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com. If you get on our email list there, you get access to the workouts. But make it beautiful. As you do your workout, remember your workout is a time to practice exercising our faith and connecting with God, to experience Him doing the work through us. One of the shortcuts I found to that is just focus on making it beautiful. Move with grace and beauty. Take all the effort and the force out of it. And just allow God to work through you and make it beautiful. Get so much better results. It's not going to be instant. It's going to be over the course of time. You're going to get better results. And you're going to increase this connection with God as well in the process. He's going to flow through you at a greater level. He's the source of beauty. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.